Beloved congregation, we were singing this morning when we start this service, "My soul still waits and looks unto the Lord till light arise." That are the words of David, the man after God's own heart, who was not a stranger of the life of God, and his hope relies only upon the Lord. For what reason? Because the Lord has wrought that hope and that expectation in his heart. Without the operation of the Holy Spirit, then there is nothing at all in our heart or soul. Then we are missing for ourselves everything. And then we are not waiting and looking unto the Lord till light arise, because we are living in the darkness by nature. And we have no desire and no need for that light that the Lord gives unto his people. There is only in the hearts of God's children a desire for the Son of Righteousness, that he may shine upon them, because the Lord has wrought that in their own heart. And not only that he has wrought that in their heart, but, and that becomes also such a great wonder to them, that the Lord upholds all the time, but he works in the heart of his children. If that not took place from moment to moment and from minute to minute, then it was done. We have nothing in us to wait till light arise. No. If we have to make a decision, then we broke off everything. And we go our own way. But the Lord has commenced in the hearts of his people. He established that till the day of Jesus Christ. And then he said, "My soul still waits and looks unto the Lord till light arise." They have to wait, and they will wait out to that to light arise, because that is so necessary for them. That is, oh, even when they are missing that, they have still some experience and some knowledge of that for their heart. Even when they are missing that, they taste for themselves something of that good and salvation that the Lord reveals in Christ Jesus. For that reason, when it is so sweet, by tasting it, what must it be when then that far light shines upon the people, and that the Lord gave the desire of their heart, tells light, delight our eyes. And in this morning hour, it is my intention with the assistance of the Lord to speak of that man that the Lord brought to full light after so much darkness. The words of my text for this morning you will find in the Gospel of Luke, the second chapter, verse 25 to 28. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God. Thus far. We will consider speaking of Simeon in this morning hour. First, God's testimony concerning him. Second, the special privilege he received from the Lord. And in the third place, the rich blessing bestowed upon him by the Lord. In the first place, we have to consider God's testimony concerning him, concerning that man with the name of Simeon. It is remarkable that the beginning of this text, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem. A man. And that have to say something to us. The beginning of that text. Namely this. That with all the grace that we receive from the Lord in our life, that we are still men. And what man is, that is clear enough. Of course, it is necessary that we learn that, but it means to be men. You read in the Bible, and I give us more light also over this text too. We read in the Bible in the Epistle of James about Elijah, that he was a man in the likeness as each and every one. He also was a man, a favorable one of the Lord. He was blessed with so many spiritual blessings, not only in his personal life, but also as a prophet of the Lord. And still, the Bible gives us that testimony that he was a man in the likeness of each and every one. That means now this. By virtue of our great fall of in Adam, we are all the same. From men, there is never expectation. Never. And nothing at all. If it have to come from us, then it is done. And if I ask the whole congregation now in this morning hour about themselves and their own condition, I think every man that would be honest that said, oh, I am so disappointed about myself. There were times, that is with every person, that is not unnatural, but that is natural that we think something of ourselves. And every man, he had some intentions and purpose in regard to his life. Especially if we are living under the truth. Oh yes, but finally it comes to that conclusion that we are men. We are disappointed with ourselves. Does that mean all that we have to say this morning about that Simeon that is only to the honor and to the glory of the Lord? It is not our intention in this morning to make an image of that Simeon. No. There was a man to Jerusalem, at Jerusalem. A man. The same as we are. There is still another thing that we can add to that. And as this congregation, that now the Lord has given unto that Simeon so much grace, and that is now described in the Bible, that we receive out of that comfort, that the Lord is almighty to grant unto us that same grace and that same privilege. And where we have to preach again that glorious gospel in your midst in this Sabbath day, that it is not my calling to exclude somebody. No. But I have to bring the gospel and the word of God that it may give us some hope for our life. And as we leave the church with that impression, oh, I hope that it was so. Lord, it is possible also for me that we receive a little hope out of that, because the revelation of the Lord is never given unto us to bring us to despair. Never. But the revelation of the word that is, that young and old, great and small, that they receive comfort out of that wonderful gospel that the Lord has delivered up unto us. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The name Simeon, signifies first to hear, to answer, to obey. That are the three meanings of the name Simeon. And the same man was just and devout. Just that refers here to men, and devout that refers here to God. Of course, that is only in Christ Jesus, because in ourselves we never just and devout. But now you see what the result is of the work of God in the heart of a man. When he comes with his Holy Spirit, then he renews that creature. And in principle, and we have always to keep that and never to forget it, but in the work of regeneration, then every sinner who is privileged with that grace, he receives in principle what they have lost in paradise. In paradise, we were adored with the image of God. We also were just. There was no inclination to do wicked things, not for ourselves and not unto others, to our neighbors. But now in the work of regeneration, then we receive back that love to God and love to our neighbors. There is in the heart of all those a desire to walk in the ways of God's commandments. If that is not on the bottom of our heart, then we are missing the grace of God. But if we could say with that man, with Peter, Lord, thou knowest everything. Thou knowest that I love thee. Thou knowest that that desire, that that principle is in my heart to be just and devout. If we can call the Lord and that we can say, Lord, you look into my heart. Then that is a clear proof that the grace of God is glorified in our life. Oh, some people, they said this and that, and otherwise, no, it is nothing. But we forget so many times that we have to consider more not our words which we are speaking, but what is now the practice? And what is our daily life? You have people, oh, they have a profession and a confession, and they can talk all the time, but the life is not the same as the confession. And if our heart is different than our mouth, then we are a hypocrite. Then we are a hypocrite. If our words are different than that it is in our heart. Now that Simeon, I come back to that man, because it is my intention to explain that text so far as it is possible for me, from word to word, that man, he was just and devout, and he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. That means our children, they can understand that. That means nothing else than this, that he was waiting for Christ. Because Christ is the consolation of Israel. This, you have that in John 17, verse 3. And this is life eternal, that they know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. The knowledge of our sins are necessary, but I have to emphasize in this morning again that that knowledge is not sufficient to our salvation. We need something else than that. We need the knowledge of Christ as our consolation. And as soon as the Lord gives us light upon that for our heart, then immediately it changed our whole condition. In the knowledge of this, of our sins and of the law, that brings a sinner always in the dust, that brings us always in distress, and that discouraged us all the time. That brings us, in other words, that brings us in the pit. But now, as soon as we receive light upon Christ, some revelation of him, all one word, one smile of him, of his brightness, of his glory, his beautifulness, that changed our whole country. And now that thing, he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Because the Lord made room in his heart for the consolation. And when he makes a room for that consolation in our heart, then immediately he gives us that privilege that he opens unto us the promises, and every promise that we have in the Bible, everyone, the content of that promise is Christ Jesus in his humiliation and in his exaltation. And now the promises given by the Lord are not given to us to rest upon. We freedom to live out of the promises. But I hope you can realize the difference between to rest upon the promises and to live out of the promises. To live out of them, you find that in Hebrews 11, where the Holy Apostle Paul, he speaks of that to the comfort of God's people. And now he was waiting that Simeon for the consolation of Israel. There was in the heart of that man a strong desire to see Christ in the flesh. We read in the Bible, maybe that word that can give some light to this matter. We read in the Bible about Jacob. When he lay on his deathbed, he said, in Genesis 49, verse 18, I have waited for thy salvation, O Lord. What means that now? Was now that Jacob a stranger of that salvation? No. The Lord has revealed that salvation for the first time, personally to his soul, in Genesis 28. When he saw that letter, that salvation that was applied to his heart in Genesis 32. But what is now the meaning of that word on his deathbed? I have waited for thy salvation, O Lord. That was nothing else, people, than that he said there on his deathbed that there was a strong desire to see the day that the Father sent his Son in the fullness of time, assuming our human nature. That was the meaning. That, in other words, to see the birth of Christ, the coming of him in the flesh here on earth. And now that Simeon, he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. The Lord has worked that in his own heart. And now the result of that he was awaiting. There was a desire in his heart. A strong desire. And then the Holy Ghost was upon him. He was filled with the Holy Ghost. Not in the first place as a spirit of holiness that was true there, but in the second place, more than that, the spirit of prophecy was upon him. The Lord has given him above other children of God a great privilege. There is always a difference amongst God's children. And then it was a very dark time in which the Lord Jesus was born in Bethlehem manger. But still, the Lord, he stays and he remains with his church. Sometimes we think, oh, it is all done. It is all gone. There is no hope, no more hope. But it is wrong to say that when Israel go in captivity, then the Lord took care for some prophets who were always with him. When Jeremiah died, then Ezekiel was there, and Daniel was there. And when they came back out of captivity, then the Lord, he gave two other men, Haggai and Zechariah. And here in Luke 2, when Christ was born, then there was a Simeon, and there was also an Anna. He was a prophet, and she was a prophetess. And we see, congregation, that the Lord always takes care for his people and for his church. The Holy Ghost was upon him. Thus, he was filled with the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost was given him as a leader and commander. But now that man, he has something special. There is not so many in the world who have that privilege. We can die every moment of the day. Every moment. All of us. We are sitting now in the church. And before that it is evening, or before that it is 12 o'clock in the afternoon, it is possible that it is done with us. But now that Simeon, he was a man, he could not die. Till that he had seen the Lord Christ. And to a right understanding of that word, this, I will give that statement an expression. Amongst God's people, amongst God's concerned people, there are so many who are filled with fear time and again. If you ask them, you believe that there is something of God's work in your heart. Then sometime in the good times of their life, then they said, I have a little hope. I have a little hope. But what is now the matter with you? What is now the matter? Oh, what the matter is with me. That the Lord draw me out of the world and brought me to his marvelous light. I believe there's something. That he has strengthened me by his word and promises, I hope it. Oh, I cannot deny it. No. I cannot deny it. My sins are not forgiven. I have no God for my heart. And I have no Redeemer for my guilt. And if that now not comes and is given unto me, and I have to die, I don't know. I have no ground to die. No ground. I am standing with empty hands. And another man, he said, oh boy, or man, maybe the Lord give it you the last day of your life. Yes, but then that man, he said, I cannot be content with that. No, I need it now. Maybe I have no deathbed. Maybe I have a deathbed, but my mind is so far gone that I have no thoughts about anything. But now here does it mean, we read in the text, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost, does not by a man, no, but by the Holy Ghost, that he should not see death before he had seen. A revelation by the Holy Ghost. Oh, converted people can say something to you. God's servants can say something. And that with full love to you. But still it are all men. There was a man at Jerusalem. But when the Holy Ghost now says something to you. And when now the third person in the Holy Trinity reveals something to us, then it will be different. Maybe he was well sick, that man, and maybe sometime heart sick. Yes, it's possible, but he knew that he never would die before that he had seen the Christ. The Lord's Christ. And if then the doctor came and said, boy, man, I don't know. Oh, but then he could say, no, man, no. I shall not die. I shall never die before that the Lord has confirmed what he had promised to my soul and what he has spoken to my heart. Oh, what a blessing. For that old man, is that right? Yes, you can imagine. In that respect, the devil had not so much to say to that man. No. And you can believe that that man has great comfort in his life, out of what the Holy Spirit has revealed unto him. And then he came by the Spirit into the temple. By the Spirit. The Holy Spirit moved his heart. There came an unusual holy moving within him. And that spirit that drove him to the temple. And there in that temple, not in his own house, but there in the temple, there was waiting for him the happiest moment of his whole life. He would see Christ there in the temple. You read about Anna later on, that she also was always in the temple day and night with fasting and with praying. And she have also that privilege to find Christ there in the temple. Thus, you have to come all the time here. All the time. Either where there is a minister or there is no minister. I hear last week there was some missing here. And what is the reason? Our old trader's not good. What is the reason? The congregation that we served in the East last Sunday, they have only one whole Sunday in 1955, for a whole day once, twice on an evening on Sunday, and that was all what that people had in that whole year. And if it now was dependent from a minister, then it was too bad. But it is a blessing if there is a minister, of course. It is a blessing from the Lord. But we still have to come to the temple. And that means not the first time or the second time that the Lord gives the desire of our heart. Oh no, Simeon, he was an old man. And Anna, she was 84 before they see the great privilege received in their life. And still she always went to the temple. She always came to the temple. That is now for us necessary too. And at the time appointed by the Lord, then he will for us a wonderful God, a surprising God. He came by the Spirit in the temple. Oh, and that is not to criticize. No, there are people that come not for that reason. And to say that word that is not so good and that expression that is wrong, no. But they come, that is now God's people. They come to find Christ there. And to receive him as their own portion for time and eternity. All day go up. I hope you came also this morning, that you say, Lord, I hope it is not in vain today. Oh, I hope that before that it now is this evening, that I have something in my arm, that I have Christ in my arm. Because, oh, I am so empty. And it is true, people, be without Christ, then our whole life is empty, and our heart is empty with all our religion that have no value for eternity, but only Christ and him crucified. That is what we need. Will it be well for time and eternity? And God's people, the concerned people, that is looking for that time and looking for that moment. Oh, that our end is the heavens, that they come down and that they reveal thyself unto my soul. He came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then he took him in his arms and blessed God. But before we sing, that we talk about that, but the Lord will send salvation, and by day his love provide. Number 416, the fifth stanza. And now, if we have a few minutes more to explain this text, but the first thing what I have to say is this, that now the Lord, when he visits his people, that he gives them always more than that he ever had promised them, because the Lord has promised that old Simeon that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. That he has seen him. And now not only he received that blessing to see him, but he took him in his arms. And that young born child that lay there in the arms of that old man. And what means that he took it in his arms? Oh, that man, you can imagine it, people. He embraced that child. And he pressed it to his heart as his Savior and as the salvation of the world. Oh, what a blessing. And how was it now possible that man took that child in his arm, that he had that freedom, oh, people? That child that was born in Bethlehem manger, that had in the council of peace Simeon and the whole church in his arms. And there he pressed the whole church on his arms. That was now the reason. And now to be privileged to take that child, oh, with what wonderful freedom that he went to Mary and to take that child out of her arms and to embrace him for a while. And then he blessed God. He blessed God. Oh, he saw the fountain and the source of all the blessings. And that now the Father has sent his only begotten Son. Because out him and through him and to him are all things. He blessed God. Oh, you think maybe we hear sometime about Simeon, about other people, that they fell on their face, that they fell down the ground. You read that in the Bible, as you know, in the first chapter of a revelation of John when he was on the island of Patmos. Then, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. You would expect that of that old man too? No. He was standing on his feet, but he took that child in his arm, and he blessed God. He glorified the Lord. And with that child, that was now the fulfillment of all the prophecies, and a fulfiller of the need of his heart for time and for eternity. He ended with that child there in God. That is the work of heaven, people. The work of heaven. And all God's children, they shall receive that privilege when they delivered out of this world. And when the Lord brings him in that heavenly Jerusalem. And otherwise, the Lord, he is so free in his ways with all his children. You read never in the Bible about Anna that she took that child in her arms. No. The one received more than the other. But nevertheless, every time when we see the Lord Jesus and that we embrace him by faith, by the true faith for our heart, oh, every time, then it is full inwardly. And there is a joy in our heart. Then the Lord our privilege us to the blessing. The blessed moment in the life of Simeon. And I believe there is people amongst us. All that say the same thing in this morning, Lord. I am waiting for thy salvation. But I never came so far that I could take that child in my arm. Oh, I am always still living with the prophecies and with the promises of the Lord. But oh, I hope that the day may come that I may also see the Lord Christ and not only see him, but that I can take him in my arm, and that I can embrace him, and that I can confess, that is now my only ground, to live and to die. That is now my Savior, my Redeemer, my surety. And he is all and in all for my heart, that people can find no rest until the Lord has given the blessing to his children. And all who are in true and uprightness, I am looking for the blessing. I declare in the name of the Lord that the time shall come that the Lord shall give the desire of your heart. Without that consolation, you shall never die. But may uncomforted fellow travelers to that great eternity, all that testimony that the Lord gives of Simeon, we cannot give it of you. And where that testimony is not given of you, the privilege that is also lacking, and even the blessing, oh, that we may consider it young and old, one of our members who lay on the gates of death, the Lord brought him in this morning in our church. Oh, that it may be a wonder to him. Another man who lay also on the gate or at the gates of death. The Lord, he brought him in his house back. A wonder because we have never thought that it will take place. No. But the Lord has no pleasure in your death. And other people, When there are others, some other in our midst, they shall never come back here in the church. They are laying to waiting for death now. Oh, young and old, that you appreciate the blessings and the privilege under which you are living. Oh, that it today break your heart in pieces. That it break your heart in pieces. And that it never will testify against you, because it shall be terrible if it shall be. And that salvation that is brought to you, that is preached amongst you, oh, that the Lord made room in your heart for that. And that we may hear it, that this one and that one is born in Zion. The Lord remember all of us in his tender mercy, and bless and sanctify his word for our hearts to true conversion and repentance, and to the strengthening of the faith of his children. Amen. Lord, bless thy word and be with us in the other part of this day, reading and preaching and hearing. Give desire and opportunity. Forgive all our sins and transgressions, and bless us together with the blessings of thy covenant, forgiving all our shortcomings and all our sins, for Christ's sake only. Amen. We sing now 318. The glorious gates of righteousness through open unto me, and what follows, 318. The collection that your offering will now be taken. declined the call to the congregation of Christendom. See the blessing of the Lord. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.